The coronavirus pandemic has hit the globe at a time of massive refugee crises, confrontation between the world's great powers, and armed conflicts in many countries. How does one coordinate a global response to an invisible enemy? For answers, I spoke earlier today with someone grappling with this and much more. He's Antonio Guterres, the Secretary General of the United Nations. Mr. Secretary General, thank you very much for joining us. You told the leaders of the world's richest nations yesterday that every country on earth is in a fight against this coronavirus, but not winning it. Why not? And do you think it's a fight that can be won?
Well, this is a fight that can be won, and the demonstration is that it has been won already in some parts of the world. But it requires a very clear strategy. And the strategy must be to suppress the virus, and the strategy that needs to be adopted by all countries in coordination, following the guidelines of the World Health Organization. Until now, what we have had was a completely different set of measures in different countries, sometimes even within one country, different areas doing different things. And the virus is a very dangerous one, and it's not easy to control. So we need concerted action by all major players. And obviously, when yesterday I was meeting the G20, I was meeting not only with the leaders of 80% of the global economy, but of 90% of the cases of infection. So if the G20 could come together, adopt a common strategy everywhere, a concerted actions everywhere, following the guidelines of the World Health Organization, aiming at suppression of the virus and the transmission of the virus, not of mitigation, not just of bending the curve, to break the curve of represents the number of cases. If that could be the common strategy, if we don't do it, if each country will do its own way, now we are seeing the virus that moved from China to Korea, from Korea to Europe, from Europe to the US. Now it's moving south. And when moving south, Africa is a continent with very little capacity to respond. And I am extremely worried that in those situations, we might have millions of cases with millions of people dying and a terrible tragedy that we need to avoid.
Well, Mr. Secretary General, where's the evidence that countries are working together? Because we see squabbling between the United States and China, for example, calling each other names. I mean, where's the evidence that this kind of cooperation is happening?
I don't think that this kind of cooperation is happening. I think this kind of cooperation must start effectively, because without it, we'll be defeated by the virus. And the cost will be enormous, of course, in human lives, and the cost will be enormous in relation to the economy and the society. This crisis is a crisis that is larger from the economic and financial point of view than the crisis of 2008. And in 2008, there was a concerted action by all members of the G20 in order to be able to address the crisis and to relaunch the economies. This time, we will need an even bigger effort. I was happy to see that the Senate in the U.S. approved $2 trillion, which corresponds almost to 10% of the American economy. But of course, I'm very worried about the countries in the South where these resources are not available and where the tragedy might be a terrible human tragedy.
You're right about what the Congress has passed. The president's presumably going to sign it. However, only $1 billion of it, it sounds like a lot of money, but that's 0.05% of it is set aside for international aid. You've called on the developed countries to help the developing countries. Do you see that kind of support forthcoming?
Well, we need about $3 trillion for the developing countries, if one looks again at the same percentage of GDP. The question is to mobilize them in an effective way, in a non-bureaucratic way, without conditions that countries are not able to meet, and to do it massively in support to the countries of the South.
At the same time, you have what is now, I believe, the largest population of refugees, displaced persons on the planet since World War II. What happens if the coronavirus hits those populations, which it's certain to do? How does that get addressed?
Well, we have, through the UN High Commissioner for Refugees and the International Organization of Migration, a plan of action aiming essentially at preventing, avoiding at all costs. Fortunately, many of these camps are in remote locations, avoiding at all costs the virus to come to them. and at the same time to build the minimum capacity to respond, even if we know that that will be extremely difficult. And that was the reason why I launched today, yesterday, an appeal of humanitarian agencies of $2 billion, which is a drop in the ocean of what we are discussing for the needs of the global economy, $2 billion to be able to provide to those most vulnerable situations in areas of conflict the minimum of humanitarian response, able to hopefully prevent the disease from coming, and if it comes, to do our best to respond to it, knowing that it will be very difficult to avoid the very tragic consequences.
So many challenges to face, Mr. Secretary General. Earlier this week on Monday, you've also called for a universal ceasefire for wherever there are hostilities for them to end because of the coronavirus. Is anyone heeding that call?
Yes, I mean, we had positive answers in several situations. The problem is not only to give a positive answer, it's to make sure that the answer is translated into action on the ground. There was an acceptance in principle by the two warring parts in Libya, but unfortunately on the ground things got worse. In Syria, several of the actors have announced that they supported the ceasefire. In Yemen, all the parties have said that they would be ready to support the ceasefire. But this requires massive pressure from the international community. I've been appealing for members of the Security Council, for those more relevant powers in the world, to put pressure on the parties to the conflict in all these situations in order to be able to translate that principled, that idea that indeed they are ready to accept it into a reality on the ground. And unfortunately, the risk that the good intention might not be translated into facts is a big risk.
No question, a big risk. Just finally, Mr. Secretary General, where do you look for inspiration in all this? I mean, I'm assuming you've never seen anything like this in your time working at the UN, working with refugees.
My inspiration comes from those people in not only in my old agency, the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees, but in UNICEF, the World Food Programme, in peacekeeping missions, the courage, the resilience, and the generosity that they show, this is for me an enormous inspiration.
United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.